Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 o'clock. It's time to call the order of the Town of Discovery Bay's regular CSD meeting. If I could get everyone to stand up and follow us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'll direct your reporter, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kev. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Okay, this is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board, here's your for any item that's not on the agenda, this is your opportunity. You'll have 3 minutes to address us. With that being said, go ahead and leave your phones muted, but at one at a time, if you could unmute your phone, introduce yourself, and feel free to speak. Is there any members wishing to speak?
Mr. President, for the record, just so you know, Mike Hiraka is on the line.
Thank you. All right, hearing no members of the public wishing to address, I'll close public comments and I will go to the consent calendar. Does any board member wish to remove anything from the consent calendar? Can I get a motion then?
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Let's move forward to F1 presentations. Caltrans, do we have a member of Caltrans on the line?
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great, thank you. Well, I'm Skip Allen, Public Information Officer with Caltrans District 10 Stockton. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. Joining me on the phone are several Caltrans District 10 project managers and engineers who are leading the efforts for upcoming construction projects on the State Route 4 corridor between Discovery Bay and Stockton. I've previously submitted to the board some summary information of three major projects that will affect travel on Highway 4 during construction. I'd like to briefly go over each of these projects, and then our project team representatives can take any specific questions that you may have. So the first project to begin construction is 1C200, and this is a culvert rehabilitation project that will repair and replace damaged culverts and drainage system elements at various locations on State Route 4, I-5, and Route 99 in San Joaquin County. For State Route 4, this work will occur just west of the Middle River Bridge. And while this project is scheduled to begin in mid-June, our contractor's schedule shows that they will start work at this location beginning on September 1st through September 21st of this year. This work will require at least one, possibly two, 55-hour full closures of State Route 4, as well as a detour around the construction zone. These 55-hour full closures are typically scheduled to begin at 10 p.m. on Friday nights through 5 a.m. on Monday mornings. Once the schedule is finalized, the public will be made aware of the exact dates and times of these highway closures via our Caltrans news releases, traffic advisories, social media pages, and roadside signage. The detour route, traveling east from Discovery Bay, will direct motorists from State Route 4 to Byron Highway East, to Mountain House Parkway South, to Interstate 205 East, to Tracy Boulevard North, returning to State Route 4. This same detour route will be used in reverse for westbound travel from Stockton to Discovery Bay. This detour will be used during construction for all three of these projects and is estimated to take between 30 and 45 minutes. Flaggers will be in place at Discovery Bay Boulevard to the west and at Tracy Boulevard to the east. And restricted access past these locations will only be allowed for emergency vehicles and those trying to reach local businesses and work locations within the closure. The second project is 1C800, which is a preventative maintenance project to make repairs to the Old River Bridge, which is located just east of the Contra Costa San Joaquin County line. This project is scheduled to begin September 21st of this year with completion in fall of 22 and will call for at least three 55-hour full closures of State Route 4, again requiring use of the same detour. Exact dates and times of these closures have yet to be finalized. And once they are scheduled, Caltrans will again alert the public through the outreach methods previously mentioned. And finally, the third project is 1F460, which will rehabilitate the roadway and realign State Route 4 just east of the Middle River Bridge. This project is currently scheduled to start in March of 22, with completion expected in August of 2023. One 55-hour full closure will be required for this work, with dates yet to be determined. And again, the detour previously described will be required during this closure. So this concludes the project summary, but I would also like to mention that we've been working closely with our colleagues from Caltrans District 4 based in Oakland to assist us with public outreach throughout Contra Costa County and the East Bay area. So now I'd like to welcome any questions you may have for our project teams.
Just so I understand, this is Director Graves. The closures are on weekends, not during the week commute time, is that correct?
Yes, sir. They begin at 10 p.m. on Friday evening and continue through until 5 a.m. that following Monday.
That's what I thought I heard. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else have any questions? Let's skip. I appreciate you taking
the
time.
Can the audience ask a question?
Absolutely. We'll open up the public comments.
Okay. My name is Karen Murphy. I live in Discovery Bay. Quick question then. So the projects are not starting until September. Originally, it was June 13th week.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, unfortunately, so the project that's first happening is the culvert rehabilitation project, and there's multiple locations where that project is taking place on Highway 4, on I-5, and on State Route 99 at other locations. So it's a little bit confusing because even though the project is starting in the middle of June, the work that's going to be occurring on Highway 4 won't start until September. So the first of these major closures that you're going to see won't occur until September.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other members of the public have any questions? Okay, hearing none. Well, Skip, appreciate you taking time out. Good luck to your projects, and we appreciate the work you're doing for us.
Well, certainly. Thank you. I'd like to thank the board for your time this evening. I believe that Mike and Dina have my contact information. If anyone has follow-up questions or would like to be added to our outreach distribution list to receive our future news releases and traffic advisories, we will be sharing those with Caltrans District 4 out of Oakland. And we also have Twitter pages and Facebook pages if anyone cares to follow those for additional means to get our information. So I want to thank everyone for your time and have a good night.
Thank you. Okay, moving forward, we'll go to presentations F2. Viola.
Good evening, board. Today I'm presenting the water and wastewater monthly report for April 2021. Due to other topics tonight, I'll try to just do a highlight unless there's any specific questions over the month. Safety and training this month, as of date, we have safe work days are 4,224. Very proud of that number. Have a lot of safety topics that we covered this month. A lot of them centered around confined space or permit required confined space issues or facilities we have located within our system. Other weekly safety topics were distractions, mental safety assessments, before proceeding in a job, job safety analysis. We had spring safety in regards to training and awareness on insects and plants that are going this time of year around the plants or hazards that have come in contact with the employees. Also done PPE inspections to our manhole entry devices, our climbing harnesses and things like that. And then also we conducted an on-site security assessment. So we're looking pretty good at our facilities. We are looking at getting more information on security cameras, better lighting, things like that for all of our facilities. So I think that's been an ongoing topic. So that's one we're definitely looking at, trying to get some better information on. For water wells, as far as Willow treatment plant, well one, as of April, was still inactive and under construction. We are happy to announce that that well is back online as of this month and is producing. Well two and well six, well four and seven are still active and online, and well five is still our emergency standby use if needed. For the water production and chemical usage this month, we had a total of water production of 87.1 million gallons from the facility, and we used about 5,560 gallons of sodium hydrochloride or chlorine. Total coliform samples collected this month were 16, zero were positive. Water quality complaints, we did have one. It was due to low pressure and groundwater resulting. So we were responded, did some extra sampling and flushing in that facility. So it did seem to take place about the time we were shutting in well six and bringing well one back online. So we believe it was not by our error, just a change error. So no big worries there. No hydrants flushed this year, this month, and valve exercise will proceed in June. For wastewater or lift station status, all 15 lift stations are active and running. No really out of ordinary activity with either one of them. They seem to be running just fine, and we are conducting planning to conduct thermal imaging of all of our electrical equipment, all that this stuff, hopefully this month. Wastewater flow and chemical usage, plant one is still shut down, and plant two, we had a total flow of 32.8 million gallons. And the effluent flow average was about 1.24 million gallons a day, and the discharge flow average about 1.1 a day. Our polymer usage for the month was 500 gallons, and no alum or pack is being used at this time. For wastewater compliance, we're looking pretty good, pretty routine for all of our BOD numbers, TSS, total coliform medians, NTUs are really good. Effluent and our removal rates are very good at 99.7%. We are, as typical, we are starting to get close to our conductivity limit. And we would have reached out to the state to look at, in case, kind of be proactive in case we over exceed that. We were taking extra measures to make sure we're cleaning the plant, doing everything we can to slow that down to, instead of requesting the state for another increase. So we kind of try to use that as a last resort if we have to. Maintenance and improvements. This month, we had zero SSOs and zero wastewater customer inquiries or complaints. And the ongoing projects for the month of April were, well, 1B was still under rehab, which has been completed as of now. Well 4, drain replacement was completed. That well is back online as well. The filter rehab is still in process. The contractor was on site this month to continue putting the media into the Newport filter. However, the Willow filter media rehab has been postponed until after peak season, most likely October. The potholing for wastewater plant 2 was completed, and the water lines potholing project was also completed. And the final issue we had in April was the radio tower failure at wastewater plant 2, and the replacement upgrade for the stations F, G, and D. We're able to save our net. Lift station F is back online with the new signal. G and D are still in a troubleshooting phase. They brought into communication issues between Verizon and signal back to the plant. And that concludes our monthly reports. Any questions?
Just out of curiosity, on page 24, or the last page where you talk about maintenance and improvements, you have a number one and a number two next to those. Are those just designating the two separate projects?
That's correct.
Okay. And the water lines, which, what is that referring to?
That was potholing in regards to I believe it was...
Edgeview and Lakeview Business Plaza new water main.
I'm sorry?
Edgeview Drive and okay. Lakeview Business Plaza.
Are we done down at Willow Lake Court?
Willow Lake and Marina?
Yeah. No, Willow Lake Court and...
I'm sorry, Willow Lake and Laguna?
Laguna.
Yeah, we just have to abandon the Laguna side old pipe, and then we'll be done there.
So they're out of the Willow Lake side, it's all been filled back in, and the hydrants moved?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I just had a quick question. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the site security on your training? Is that...
Veolia conducts a annual training of safety topics throughout the year. In our business, security is always one of those hot commodities. In regards to Discovery Bay, we just recently had to do a risk assessment for the water system that I believe Justin will be presenting or has presented. We took an extra step and took that same initiative to the wastewater side as well. Some things that we're doing is making sure that the admin building, the city's equipment, and things like that are locked and secured. Things like what happened with the tower and tenant fall and things like that are really under strict watch or close watch. And this is some of this was in preparation of us being under construction for the next two and a half years there, which is going to be pretty strenuous on security and safety all the way around. So as soon as I get some more details, I can provide that if you want, maybe in next month's report.
Yeah, because I don't think Justin's presented anything yet, but okay. I'm sure the board would be very interested to see what those results look like when you guys are ready for that.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, we'll go to business and action items, G1. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Gregory Harris.
Hey, Gregory. Did I say Mike? I was looking at Mike. Sorry.
I get them mixed up all the time, too.
And G1 is the staff report for BSK. So we're about to hopefully award the construction of the denitrification project tonight. And as part of that work effort, the geotechnical engineers do inspection of the soils during construction and do concrete testing, et cetera. And BSK was the geotechnical engineer of record for the design, so they did the original borings, original criteria established that we designed to. And we've gotten a scope of work from them and negotiated with them for a scope and fee for $90,762, or $52, and that scope is attached to this report. And we're looking for approval of them to do the geotechnical and special testing on the project.
Any clarified question?
No, it's pretty cut and dry. I would move to approve staff's recommendation. I don't know about public comment.
Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none.
Now I would move to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a second?
Board.
One moment, please. We want to approve staff recommendation with the change of, in the recommendation it says 90,000. We want to make sure we accept the change with $90,750.
So I have a quick question, because I was looking here, it says approximately 90,800. So are we doing, not to split hairs, but are we doing 752 or 800?
$90,752.
Okay.
Is what staff recommendation is.
And that's what I am and that's what I'm looking to approve.
Okay, well, I'll second that. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gattone?
Aye. The motion carries. Okay, Greg, I think you're probably up here for D-Night as well, so we'll go to G2.
The good news is we got the bids in for the denitrification project. They are over the engineer's estimate and the project budgets that we've been working with. Low bid for the project was $15,994,000. The three other bids were received on the project, and the other bids ranged in cost of, where is that cost? Sorry, I lost it in my notes here. It was about $19 million up to 20. There we go. Yeah. So the other bids are $19,887,667 was the number two place bid, and on up to $20,261,000 was the high bid for the project. The engineer's estimate and the original master plan estimate was $13.5 million. And we were becoming alerted to a lot of inflation in the construction industry towards the end of the project. And so the informal engineer's estimate to the town was $13.5 million to $15 million at the time. The bids came in, the lowest bid was $16 million. Anderson Pacific built oxidation ditch number three. And was very keyed in on the project. They've been tracking the project for a year, and they were hot to get it, so they're quite a bit under the next bid. The reality is we're in a very high inflationary cycle right now. In the last 6 months, steel's gone up threefold, a 300% increase in the cost of steel. Wood has gone up 300%, copper has doubled, PVC has doubled. Concrete is now problematic as well. So all those pressures put a lot of uncertainty into this project, and that's why you see the other bidders who maybe don't know Discovery Bay so well sitting out there at $20 million. So it's a little higher than where we started a year ago. We gave you an estimate a year ago, but all in all, $16 million, I think, is a steal given the current construction contract environment.
Steal.
I wish somebody give me a deal like that.
I mean, as our local expert, does it surprise you see such a discrepancy between the bids?
Normally the bids are tighter between first and second. However, the players in third place, two of them aren't really big in wastewater contracting. They're big contractors, but not necessarily big wastewater contracting. And we have one bidder with a lot of specific local knowledge. They worked out here for 18 months last time. They know the soil, they know dewatering. So they have some insider knowledge a little bit. They also wanted the job really bad. I will say that there was some talk that when the bids came out, they made a mistake on their bids, and they worked very hard internally to make sure they could proceed with the bid, and they informed us that they wanted to proceed with the bid as submitted. I usually the bids are a little tighter, and if you rebid this, you're going to be up around 20. That's what they're going to be.
So is there concerns that those with the exceeding costs, and like we're just starting up that path, are there concerns that this may go over that 10% or?
I don't think we're planning on going over 10%. We're already talking with the contractor about some ideas to do some value engineering to reduce some costs.
Okay.
So at the moment, we're trying to come out with, hey, there's some things we can do to give you the equivalent functionality, equivalent product, but maybe a little less cost. And so we've already thrown out some ideas. They've thrown some ideas our way. And so our initial reaction is going to be see if we can reduce the cost a little bit as we get into construction. On all the projects that we've done here in Discovery Bay for the last 20 years, our average change order percent is 2 to 3%. Okay? But the real thing is change orders are kind of an unknown cost right now because all these inflationary costs, you don't know.
Crazy.
You know, a year from now, you don't know what, if you have to change something, what the cost of material would be, stuff like that. But at the moment, I would think 10% is an appropriate carry for contingency on the project.
Thank you.
So staff is recommending approval of the, Kevin.
Yeah, so looking at it from a glass half full perspective, as you know, we're not going to stay in this high inflationary construction cost forever. Things have to get back to at least somewhat what the, I mean, even if it drops 200 of the 300% back to normal costs as production and things become more available. What's our completion date on this?
The permit conditions come into effect December 31, 2023.
That's not very long.
So it's 2.5 years from now.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We have a 2-year construction.
I don't know if we'll get a larger reduction in, but if let's just say that the cost of steel dropped dramatically back to a reasonable amount. My wife happens to be in the steel business.
Yeah.
Would we see any of that, or would they just see that as profit?
We would not see any of that.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. I mean, it seems fair. I just because they're taking a risk too. We're all taking a risk at this point.
Well, yeah, but they're not taking a risk.
Because I'm sure they're not going to take it.
They're a known $4 million under the next bidder. So that's not a risk for them. That's a known fact now for them. That's why they were like...
Oh, but I'm sure that there's going to be letters coming our way if it continues to increase, asking for more money.
The bids are cemented. They can't come back for more money.
Even on material cost increases?
Yeah, just because there's inflation.
Okay.
They can't come back.
Right. Well, then that's fair.
The only thing they can come back on is if you can't get a delivery, like no one will send concrete or something. You know, that they can come back for that. But it's just
possible. That's a high likelihood. Currently,
by the way, that's why those other bids are up to $20 million, because they're looking at, or this is a 2-year project, right? They're not buying all the materials in the first month.
Right.
They're all taking the risk of what's it going to be a year from now when we're heavy into heavy construction a year from now. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
You know, your bids reflect that.
Okay.
Do we know if there's any costs associated with us not hitting that December 2023 deadline?
So, unless our permit were modified, we would face a fine of about $9,000 a day.
But based on the conditions and the timing, we could always apply for an extension.
Well, we could always apply. I don't know if they'd be...
Understood.
There's nothing wrong with applying.
But right.
But what would happen,
but if all of a sudden we couldn't get concrete for 6 months and it put the project out 9 months because we couldn't get...
I think if you could... show force majeure occurring on the project, negotiate with the regional board. I mean, if you're under construction, the regional board wants to spur the board to, you know, float the bond, spend the money, start the contract, get construction.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle of construction and you can't finish, I don't think the regional board's coming back. I mean, you know, there's something.
Let's just stay with half full.
We're going to document all of that as well. So we have a OneDrive set up. We're going to document everything. If we can't get a supply, if we can't get something, we're going to get the email, we're going to document it, and we're going to save it. So that will help us, hopefully, if something happens and there's a delay, to go back to the regional control board and say, these are the reasons why.
Can we get those reports, like delay reports, when we start this project to the board, like when you're reporting monthly on the project costs, so we can have an understanding of, like, these are the delays that are happening, this is why they're happening, these are the issues that we're having, so
we
can understand that as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Forgive me, if it helps, probably a little before 6 months, before that deadline, Bueller is going to be hard-pressed tracking our progress with the wastewater plant because of our permanent obligations and the changes. We will be heavily in communication with the state at how we're going and how we're going, and it will probably be not only in Greg's report at the time report, but also in Bueller's report once they actually get to that point.
How are these?
But the key for us is we want to give Veolia enough time to learn a new process. It's a new process.
Yeah.
And this new bacteria we're growing, and, you know, you don't just start it up like that. You know, you need to work at it, and they need to operate it for a while, and then make sure they can control the process properly before the deadline. Yeah.
How are these contracts written, or the bids written, if the project does start to slip? Who's on the hook for that? Do they have contingencies written in there?
So the only way the contract is given relief is if it's something completely outside of his control. So, you know, we had an example with the filter job that we built. They had the flood in Texas, you remember, a couple of years ago. It just flooded Houston. Well, their material supplier that they had purchased the materials from were in Texas. Our materials got flooded out the door and disappeared. So we didn't have a cost incurred, but they can't get the material. You know, it's like, it's supposed to be here Tuesday, right? And on Monday, the flood comes and wipes it away. So we didn't face a cost on that, but we did face the, okay, it's 6 months to get it from a new supplier, and this is what's going to happen, and, you know, stuff like that.
So in that event, then, were you liable, was the town then liable for the time if it exceeded the permit? Would that be something that... is there anything
on paper, if the part was needed for the process to run, like it was an integral thing that needed work for the process to run, in theory, it would say that maybe we can't comply with the permit, in which case we would have to document it and then go back to the regional board and say, you know, this is what's going on, you know, with that instance.
Okay, so just to clarify, there's no then, if, you know, these types of things happen. There's nothing in the contract that if they don't meet this date, then there's any type of penalty to
them. There is for just generally, like, I just didn't get it done.
Right.
Yeah, there's liquidated damages of $1,000 a day.
Okay. And then the fine, though, you said was $9,000 a day?
Yes. Yeah, but okay. If you put $9,000 a day on a contract and bid it,
nope.
Your bids are going to be, you know, they're just going to put fluff in your bid, you know, and you're paying for it up front, and if you complete it, the money's just gone.
And I kind of extrapolate the timing on it, being on the flip side of the bid set. I mean, you have to be somewhat realistic about what you can and can't do, and I think most things like this, in every industry that you're in, they're experience these delays and the construction costs and stuff like that. So, I mean, as a state, I would hope and assume that they're experiencing it not just here, but all the way around.
Even things like the closure on Highway 4 took out one bidder.
Yeah.
Because he's coming out of Stockton. They're coming in on Stockton, and they're going to close Highway 4, and it's 45 minutes around every single day for all of their workers and all their trucks. And, you know,
it's not gonna do anything.
You know, that's just the closure. Now, if it's one lane, it could still be, you know, that Highway 4 is heavily traveled. You close it to one lane, there could be very long delays on Highway 4. So, you know, it's where material delays. It didn't help that right at the time of our business, Caltrans says we're closing Highway 4 and we're going to be working on it for, you know, all summer and into the fall. You know, that didn't help.
Who takes the lead on managing Anderson Pacific if we award them? Is it Veolia or is it Gregory,
so
or is it?
Yeah, so Herwood is hired, my company is hired as the construction manager.
Mm-hmm.
So we act as a construction manager and manage that contract and manage the construction. The contractor manages his labor force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we manage enforcement with the contract and enforcement with the plans and specs and stuff like that, inspections and that kind of thing.
If there's no other clarifying questions.
So just to clarify, the bid is $15,994, and we're asking for a 10% contingency authorization for the general manager to issue change orders. And in this particular case, probably ought to be both forgiving on change orders. You're starting off with a $4 million bank on your side of the coin, you know, and we basically have to work with these guys a little bit hold them in the bid and keep them going.
Well, let's go ahead and open up to public comments. Is there any member of the public that wishes to address this issue?
Bill Helfrich, please.
Go ahead, Bill.
Hello?
We can hear you, Bill. Can you hear us?
Yeah. How does this... Yes, I can. How does this price increase play into the borrowing scheme that you had put together to cover these estimated costs a year ago?
I'll bring up Dina to address that.
That's a question. We're asking for a comment.
It's a comment. But with that being said, Dina, since you are up here, is there any going to impact to the...
So that's something we're going to work with Finance Carter, Finance Manager Carter with. We're going to work with the Finance Committee as well. And so that'll be coming at a later date.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comments?
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Hearing none, I'll close public comments and bring it back to the board for motion.
Motion to approve staff recommendation and contract.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham? Do we need to say the amounts, or is just...
It's staff's recommendation.
So, do you want to include the plus 10% for the change orders? No, it's not necessary.
It's already part of it.
That's included in
it.
It's
included.
Aye. Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gateau?
Aye.
Thanks, congrats. Guys.
Yeah. Spend it wisely.
By the way, Dina, the Finance Committee will be looking forward to hearing what your plan is. I don't know what he's referring to by saying scheme. We're not scheming anything, but we're planning for this, and we'll bring several options to the board, so we're looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks for clarifying that, Director Graves. Okay, let's move forward to G3.
Good evening, board. The due with the communications, or the, I think it was the communications committee that came up with having a town hall event with a date of June 26, 2021. From about 11:30 a.m. to around 1 p.m., this says 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as part of an agenda. So based on the feedback that was received from the communication committee with staff, we drafted an agenda, a plan for the event to spark discussion for the rest of the board to see if this is something that the board can either go with or modify. The caveat to this agenda is we're still at the mercy of whatever takes place with county health. And so we put this in with optimism and would scale back as necessary to comply with any health orders. So what we're looking from the board is to come up with something that is agreed upon to move forward with the town hall event or to modify it.
Okay, I'll go. So first of all, a couple of things. I think we're really early on this based on the fact that we want to put our best foot forward. We didn't realize we were going to be coming up against COVID-related delays with the pool, not only with the shed, which we haven't been able to get the permit from the...
Finally got the permit.
Okay, but it won't be done in six weeks from now.
Maybe put it off.
And so my recommendation is not that it's a good idea, but my recommendation is that we schedule this for later on in the summer because the pool is a big deal, and we want to kind of show that off. We don't want to show it partly. We don't want to, because, man, if there's a hole in the ground out there, it's hard for people to envision what it's going to be like when it's done. And so my only suggestion, not to butt my nose into another committee, but is to say, let's delay this. And the other reason is also 2 weeks before that, we have a State of the Town gala. To do a State of the Town event just 2 weeks later is probably... Yeah. We didn't know that ahead of time.
Yeah, please understand, Kevin, we chose this date in
January.
I know.
January. And so then it was obviously, we were very hopeful about the pool, thinking we'd be showing that off. And now they've just announced the state of town. So do we need to talk to the committee?
Well, maybe what we'll do is decide that if the committee's okay with it, maybe bring us back another date.
That's fine.
You got it.
No, absolutely. First off, thank you for putting this together.
Yeah.
You have a draft agenda now.
It puts a draft down, right? So that's good. I do agree that we need to take this back to committee and look at an alternate date. We'll work with the scheduling of the pool, try to estimate when that's going to be complete, and then try to pin that down to a date where it's all together.
Can we pair it up with something that's already going on in the community? For instance, not that $2,400 is a ton of money, but if we paired it with, say, like a summer jam or something like that, where people are kind of already coming to that to experience it and maybe doing something before it and kind of share in some of those costs, so we can actually get some people there, show that we're being actively involved in the community event. You know what I mean? It's kind of doubling up.
Yeah, that's something
to look at. And it gives us a little bit more time.
It's a very interesting thing to look at. So I do have a lot of the dates of other events going on. So we'll take that back to committee and we'll look at other events going on at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know that any are scheduled here per se, but we'll definitely take that into consideration.
Just something, to think about outside the box. Because
it's a good idea from the standpoint of people already planning to be in town for something and it's not conflicting with times. Then you have a greater audience, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's good. So I think the motion would be to recommend that we send this back to committee to work on the date and firm up the plans.
We don't need a motion.
Okay.
Perfect.
I think that's what we need to do.
That's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
No issue.
Is there any public comments? All right, hearing none, we'll close public comment. And we'll move on to...
our graphic designer.
G4,
so
placard.
The Communications Committee discussed with staff that it would be nice if there was a border or a placard or something that was easily recognizable when we did announcements or updates. That you put it in the paper, or you're posting on Facebook, or even posting on the website, that this border and this placard would be instantly recognizable as something coming from the town of Discovery Bay. So we worked with a few ideas, brought one back to the Communications Committee that we received some favorable comments on, and we wanted to bring that one back to the board to determine if the board wanted to go with something like this or go with something else. I did put together some other exemplars at the last minute to spark maybe some additional ideas or comments. And so those will be added as additional materials to the agenda packet, but those are designed to spark comments and suggestions from the board.
I have a comment. I like the choices. If I were to choose, I would be a combination. I like the second one. If in fact Discovery Bay were on the same line, so you could make that a little bit smaller and leave more room for whatever you were announcing below it, would be my.
So have town over the Discovery.
And then Discovery Bay across, like you do on the first one. Yeah, you have Discovery Bay are on the. Yeah, all on one line, maybe a little smaller font. So then it leaves you more room below. Town of small, and then Discovery Bay, and then you have a little bit more room.
I understand exactly what you're saying. The only consideration on that is having that symbol, our seal, in the very center. So it might look a little odd being off to the side.
I see. Oh, well, I see your point. But I also like the last one, just the watermark. But I just don't know if that shows up well enough when it's being printed on.
And if I could just add, so this is probably printed out on a color laser, looks like.
It's my printer at home.
Okay.
Which is...
So about, what, probably 600 DPI? When you're going into, like, doing process print, it's a much lower resolution. So getting that small of a logo in the center, I don't think it's going to transpose.
You're saying this logo is not going to work anyway?
No, it'll work great for any digital communications, but if you did any print communications, I think you'd struggle.
Because
you'd
bleed.
Get the bleed. Yeah.
But are we using this for print and digital, or are we just using it for digital?
Yeah, if we put anything in the newspaper, we're making an update, an announcement, yeah.
Well, what about just making the O of Discovery Bay the same size as the other fonts instead of making it the emblem big in the center? If it was just the O of Discovery Bay, then it wouldn't matter if it was centered or not. But you know what? We can make you redo this a million times.
Yeah.
So.
And now you know what it feels like to be a graphic designer.
I just look at this one, which I like a lot, and I don't look like there's a lot of room left to put what you want to put on it.
Yeah, that's why I kind of went to the one single line with the town of. You know what? I can do a mock-up of what you described and bring it back at another board.
The most important thing is we come up with something with identity.
I get it now. I didn't get it at first, but I do get the consistency and the marketing and the what am I trying to say? The
branding.
Thank you. I mean, I like the watermark.
I'm good for the second one. I like that one. I think it's simple because I think whatever you're going to put on there, if you want to add other graphics, if you're announcing something or whatever, it gives you the space to do that.
Why does the watermark come up better on the third
because
one than on the fourth
one?
Probably because
Because the watermark on the third page, just with the watermark, comes out much clearer than on the fourth page.
It's probably the opaqueness of it on the graphic.
But anyway, I think you got my input. I, in the grand scheme of things, I'll go along with what everybody else wants.
Any public comments regarding our...
That's brave.
Bill, are you still there?
I don't think you have a copy of it.
I'm still there, but I'm an accountant, not an artist. Go for it, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
A lot of help.
Yeah, these are great. I think,
yeah, they are great.
You get some great choices.
But yeah.
So I think we'll come to the next board meeting with a couple of choices that we all can just say, let's just do one.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it like not waste the board's time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that being said, there's no other additional agenda items. We'll adjourn at 7:48.
No reports?
Yes.
I apologize. It was left blank on the agenda.
Well, that's the problem with this format. Because when you put them all there, we don't know which ones we're supposed to be looking at and which ones we're not. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Hi, Monica.
Hello. Just wanted to give everybody a quick update on hiring of part-time staff for here at the Community Center for all positions, what we're doing so far, and kind of where we're at with that. So we've got all positions out advertised on Indeed, Liberty High School, Heritage, and Freedom. I reached out to them, and they're making announcements to all the students there when they do their morning announcements. We have it on Facebook, the website. Somerset has a bulletin board, so we reached out to them. We have it on the bulletin board at Somerset. It's been on the electronic message board. I know when I personally come down here and walk up on the weekends, whoever's here, I kind of say, do you have any teenagers or anybody want a job? So I'm kind of doing that. And just kind of putting the word out personally through people that, friends, I know other staff have been doing the same thing. So we've gotten some interest. I'm actually going to be have three interviews on Friday that I'll be interviewing. They're all three are high school students, and one on Monday, all for front desk position. So far, nothing for lifeguard.
Now, they get the training. What did you say? Where do they get the
training? American Red Cross does the training.
Do they have a board, a place where you can get those positions available? Where the people go get trained?
Well, American Red Cross usually for... We're American Red Cross certified here, so there's different, there's Jeff Ellis, there's different groups. We're American Red Cross. So if you want to be a lifeguard here, you have to be certified through American Red Cross. So typically those people are your polo, high school polo players, swim teams. So they all know where to go to get that information. Those swim coaches at all the high schools put that out there. It's not real easy to find, even in a non-COVID time. We, in years past, have offered them here because we are American Red Cross. That organization, American Red Cross, comes. It's like a two-day thing on a weekend. And then...
do they have a website where you can post positions?
Well, American Red Cross... Oh, for hiring? I'd have to check.
Yeah, that might be a...
Have we thought about maybe sponsoring to have that class, whoever takes it, hiring those people to be lifeguards? Because I feel like we're getting at a point where we have this pool that's going to be open and we're not going to be able to open it because we don't have lifeguards for it.
And what date are you zeroing in on as far as their start date?
Well, I won't possibly know that.
Yeah,
those are two different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, is that an option where we can sponsor the class and say, if you take this class and we decide to hire you, we'll pay for your training because you're going to be working for us, and that's kind of a perk of doing that, or even reaching out to those polo teams and swim teams and seeing if any of those students are interested in doing it?
Yeah, I typically work with the high school coaches, but because we haven't had a pool... And all of that stuff has been closed down. I know Brentwood is having a hard time getting lifeguards as well, the city. So the board can certainly can do that. You might want to put it, the classes aren't inexpensive. They're typically, in years past, they're almost $300 per person to take that class. So if somebody doesn't fail it, I mean, if somebody doesn't pass it, then we've just paid for that, so that's just something for you.
Well, no, they would
have
to pass. That would be part of it. They'd have to pass it.
And then apply, and then we reimburse them for.
Yeah, so if they take the class, we hire them. We can pay for that or do a discount.
So I never even thought about that. So am I hearing you correctly that in the past, to be a lifeguard here, they've paid $300 to come earn whatever they earn, so they've got to work a lot of days before they finally earn back what they invested in becoming a lifeguard?
Absolutely. That's anywhere. You don't just say, I want to be a lifeguard. Yeah.
But I mean, how much do we pay them an hour?
They can take that class anywhere. It's not
probably about $15 an hour. That's...
They got to work a little...
That's how much it was.
At least
they
3 days.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an option.
20
right?
days.
Because you got
to work 20 days before they start making any
that.
Money. And the summer's only 3 months long, or 4 months long. I don't know. I had no idea.
That's why typically...
I guess that's why I wasn't a lifeguard.
You would hire your lifeguards. In years past, we're usually doing interviews around February.
How long is the certification good for?
I think it's like 3 years. I think.
Oh.
And then you don't have to retake the class. You just have to recertify.
Okay. Well, that makes it a little bit different. Okay.
Yes.
Keep working on it.
Okay. Out of curiosity, the three applicants, where do they see the posting? Do they tell you?
There's four. There's three I have on Friday, one on Monday. They just happen to all be Liberty High School students. So I think one saw it on Indeed, and the others, I believe, were from the announcements that the high school was doing.
There are some local businesses that would post any notices if you had some that you wanted us to post.
I will check with those local businesses. I appreciate that.
Well, before I think that's a great idea, what the rest of the board members say about offering some type of reimbursement if they pass it, and come work with us. So is that something that...
Well, they would have to take that class. I will absolutely look into it. We obviously cannot offer that class here. But they would have to be doing that, like, now. So they would have to travel, most likely. Like, when we've offered that class here, when we were American Red Cross authorized location, we had people coming from Stockton, and because it's not just like you look it up and, oh, I can take a class this weekend. It's usually something you have to really plan for.
But, so, again, random question. I mean, if we work with the American Red Cross, and this is my experience from a long time ago, we would have an instructor that was American Red Cross certified that would put a specific class together for our incoming potential lifeguards that we hosted, knowing who was coming, who was signed up, and took the class. Could we, I know that we're wanting them to be in there now, but if we offer it and say, hey, if you're interested in working with us, we're going to hold this class on this weekend, potentially save it, pair up with Delta Valley or potentially Brentwood Swimming so we can have them in there to do it while our pool's being...
Right. I was meaning, I'm sorry if I didn't, I was meaning we couldn't host that here. They would have to, we'd have to put it out there and they would have to possibly travel somewhere to do that, but yes.
We can't host it because the pool is not finished.
Yeah.
Just
for
this. I wanted to make sure I understood correctly that you weren't meaning to wait till our pool was done to have. Okay.
I'm just saying, maybe work with some other pools in the area that are open
we would reimburse them, but they would also have to stay for a period of time. They'd have to stay for a summer.
Next month.
We don't want to wait that long enough. I would like to see staff. I would like to see staff put together a reasonable proposal. I think that the board may be interested in investing a little bit in making sure that we have lifeguards so we can open our pool up. If we have to invest in some training, we may be open to that. Can staff put together a proposal for us that
Staff has a budget. Staff can do it within the budget. We can do that. We don't need the board or something.
I think it's a great idea then.
I will reach out to American Red Cross and see how to get the ball rolling and what our options are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that it?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do we have a general manager's report?
We do not.
Do we have director's reports?
Yes. I attended two meetings. I attended the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District meeting, where we spoke heavily upon the fire season, and also they talked a bit about the new legislation, and looks like the Board of Supervisors is going to move forward with that, with the proposal. They may have already passed it by now. They
did.
Yeah, did they vote on it this last Tuesday?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
Oh, okay. But anyway, they're looking to that as being a very effective tool, and not that we want to develop a climate of tattletales, but we do want people to be responsible, and sometimes being responsible means that people have to observe you being irresponsible. And I think that's the theory behind the plan, is that, you know, with video cameras and everything, I mean with phones and everything else, that we're able to help them help us. And they were very hot on that. And then I also sat in on the aviation committee meeting. The good news there is that Byron's going to have some business open. They're developing three or four other, there's some new hangars going in over there, and there's going to be some more businesses there. So that might provide some job opportunities for the area and increase the economy here a little bit. Unfortunately, it doesn't fall directly within our jurisdiction. It'd be nice. But there's several companies. One of them, this is cool. In fact, now I remember. One of them is a drone testing company.
Oh, that's cool.
That wants to put in a hangar over there and start doing drone testing because of where they are. And the other one is artificial intelligence testing that they want to do in one of the hangars over there. And I thought that's pretty high-tech stuff for Byron, so I was
what do they do? Like, is it like trucks and cars and stuff?
What's that?
Is it like autonomous stuff?
They didn't, all Keith said was that it was AI, and you know, I'm not on the board, so I don't usually enter, don't ask a lot of questions during the meeting, but we could get a hold of Keith Freitas at the aviation at Buchanan Field. But there's some high tech
it's going to be moving into Byron Airport, which is kind of, or at least looking at leasing spaces and building some new hangars. That's all I got.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence received? No correspondence. Any future agenda items? With that, then, at 8 o'clock, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everybody.